Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host and Beyonce,
Dr. Frank Powers.
Well, Frank and I are excited to tell you before we start the show about our new book, Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating. For those of you who have had a loss and are wanting to move on and think about dating. And we want you to know that 100% of the proceeds from our new book will go to the Open to Hope Foundation with our mission of helping people find hope after loss. Well, Frank, we've got a really important show today about peer support and how you can help people. Their child died of an accidental overdose to fentanyl. And Chelsea, she died 7 years ago. And I know that there are many of you who have had these types of losses, and you're going to want to know how to not only get help, but how to help other people. So I want to introduce our guests today, William and Millie Hunton.
Hello.
Glad to have you on, William and Millie. And we know them through the wonderful organization, the Compassionate Friends. And they've been chapter leaders down in the New Orleans area. We're going to have a fabulous conference there. We'll all be there in July. I want to give you a little background on these people. We can give them a little background. I mean,
wow, they have quite a background.
Yeah, they're quite impressive. Do you want to talk about what William's done?
Well, four-time recipient of the Commendation Medal for Southeast Asian Service. So thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
For sure. That's amazing.
Retired Air Force. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Retired Air Force. Mm-hmm. And Millie has been selected a Teacher of the Year by the Veterans of the Foreign Wars Post in
Arahan.
Millie spent her whole career in child care and child development. Well, let me say to start out, I am so sorry about the death of your child to the accidental fentanyl overdose. And we were talking on the show earlier, before we started the show, about the fact that you have a lot of people in your chapter who have the same kind of problems going on.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem.
It is. It was a shock to me, to us.
Yeah.
It was a word we had never heard of before that day. I mean, it was 2016. It hadn't had a lot of publicity by then.
I want to talk about peer support a little bit, because when my son died, I found that Compassionate Friends is important because people have no exact, you know, they know what a loss is like, child loss.
Well, our first meeting was the candlelight ceremony in 2016. And that just brought us right into how the people just took us in and such warmness and acceptance, and knew exactly how I felt. Like, I could not even say Chelsea's name without falling apart. And still today, it hits hard. She was our youngest daughter, suffered with scoliosis and got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And my mom found her in our house on the sofa and called me at school. And I came straight home. And the diagnosis was the accidental overdose, and it took her life right away.
Well, William, you went to Compassionate Friends. We sometimes don't see as many men in these organizations. Good for you. Did you go together right away?
Oh, absolutely. This is something that we have to do together. When Chelsea died, I had two big losses, and that was the loss of my youngest daughter and the loss of my wife, because I could see, you know, the pain and stuff that she was going through. I remember being in tears the first time I seen a smile on her face afterwards. I knew there was that much pain involved. Of course, a man has pain too, but it's a different ways, and we grieve differently. And so that's why I was always there for her and being part of the organization. And it did stuff for me too, as well.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because a lot of times people focus on the one loss and don't realize there are associated losses with because they are in there grieving and you feel like they're not available. And so you get hit twice.
Not too many men go to the meetings. Right. And he was the one that, you know, we were together all the time, every meeting, every function, every ceremony, we were always together. Chelsea was our daughter, not just mine, not just his. And
I bet it was a huge support for you to know that he was there and sharing this with you. You don't
want Yes, Frank, yes.
Not want to do it alone.
Yeah. Even though, you know, I feel like sometimes some of the dads that I hear do not come or aren't able to come, you know, I feel sorry for the moms that are there doing this alone, but there's a reason why some of the dads can't make it or can't go on with this, you know.
Sometimes in their own grief, they just can't, they want to run away from it. And, you know, we all know that that isn't the most helpful way of handling it. But unfortunately, your husband is a real trooper.
Yeah.
I also wanted to dispel a myth here. And I hear it from so many people. It's in books, it's in articles, that you are almost bound to get a divorce, that there's like a 90% divorce rate. That is not true.
Not when you band together.
There is no research that shows that there is, that a death of a child is imminently you're going to get divorced, because it scares people when you hear that. I mean, there's no chance. I mean, sometimes you aren't grieving at the same pace.
Well, you know sometimes we've heard stories of where there's so much guilt on one side or the other, and blame that causes a divorce. You know, we had a young man that came in to one of the meetings, and all he talked about was how his ex-wife had belittled the son so much for year after year after year. And then he finally took his own life, you know? So when you have that type of battling situation, divorce is imminent, you know.
Well, but you can see that they had problems before the death. Right.
Exactly. That's
the other point. There isn't a direct relationship. Child dies, couple breaks up. Right. You know, it's not.
There are other factors.
It's not a simple factor. The one thing that, you know, you do have in common after you have a child die is that you both have the same death. I mean, nobody knows it's your child.
Right.
That there's a bonding in that also, that you share that, even though you may, some days you're up and he's down, or he's up and you're down, or, you know, you're not exactly grieving exactly the same way, you still have that. Like to lose that child.
That potential is there, but you have to be a couple that can use that potential to grow and to feel connected over the loss.
I think too, the strength of just being together. We traveled and we were away from home for so many years that when we came back and had to come back, we just felt the strength of wanting to be with the family and wanting to help. And just, I'm a strong person. He's a strong person. And we just feel like, you know, the military gave us that strength, because we had to leave home at the age of, I was 18 years old, just left mom and dad. We just got married.
I want to talk to you about Memorial Gardens, because I know one of the biggest things that people are afraid of, and I know I was when my son was killed, is that I would forget. And I think, I know you guys have talked about your Memorial Gardens at Compassionate Friends.
When we first came to the Compassionate Friends meeting, I started inquiring about the garden. I said, how did it get here? Who built it? You know, and they were like, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so and so. No, we weren't around then, you know. So none of the people who built the garden was there. 2023 has made it 20 years that it was built. So 22 years ago, they started planning and organizing and fundraisers and stuff like that. So when we became chapter leaders and I got all the books and photo albums and stuff, I started going through everything and I seen all the pictures of the garden being built. So I utilized those pictures with a video that was also available. And for 5 years now, we've done a workshop presentation of building a children's memorial garden.
It's in the perfect spot of Lafreniere Park, right along the pond. There's gardens around it. There's beautiful trees around it. You can sit there, and we have our memorial bricks all laid on the ground there. We have it's just so pretty. I'm looking at a picture right now, you know, and the monument behind it with the butterflies is a beautiful area to go and take your walk and visit your child.
Can you give us the dates of the Compassionate Friends National Conference?
12 through the 14th of July. We are actually working on preparing a Friday night
jazz
entertainment, which would include a three-piece jazz combo and some Mardi Gras reveliers, I think they're called, dressed up in costumes and stuff like that. Again, we don't want to make it too festive, but we want to utilize the situation of grief and show how this city celebrates life even after death. And because we often do that, we have a second line dance during funerals sometimes, and that is part of the celebration of life.
I love New Orleans and the hospitality and the po' boys.
Oh yeah.
We're looking forward to the conference, and we have done all this in honor of our Chelsea.
Yeah.
We miss her dearly. She was a big part of our home, and it's a great loss. It's a great loss.
Yeah.
I know. And we feel so for you, and our heart goes out to you. Certainly, I know, you know, what a pain it is to lose a child, and 7 years is not a huge amount of time.
And what was your son's name?
Things get better. Scott.
Scott.
Scott, and he was 17. Yeah.
Wow.
We love him and we never forget him. And thank you for your service, because service is a way to heal.
That's right.
The beginning of healing is through service. There's just no question in my mind. That's how why I started Open to Hope, and my whole family's been involved, and you know, is because of service. They'll always be our heart space. So thank you again for being on the show today and for all the good and all the things that you're doing in the name of your daughter. Frank and I always want to remind everyone that if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own, and God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.